You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
So to quote our really, really, you know, lovable fellow film critic on the site, Adrian, when we were reviewing Shirley, Chris Cox and I were talking about how we're gushing over Shirley Jackson and how much we loved her. And Adrian, first thing he said was like, "So I'm just going to admit I'm a big, stupid man. And I know nothing about Shirley Jackson." And anything of her accomplishments. And I is kind of feeling the same thing about Helen Reddy, because for the longest time, the only thing I knew Helen Reddy from was as the lighthouse keeper in Pete's Dragon. And yeah.
You just blew my mind, because I am also a man who knew nothing about Helen Reddy going into this. And now you've blown my mind. That is my night. Thank you.
Yeah, right? I mean, I grew up on like live action Disney classic movies. And Peace Dragon is like was my jam, you know. And of course, you know, hearing her sing Candle on the Water and, you know, there's room for everyone. Anyways, but so that's all I knew her from. That was my point, my Helen Reddy point of reference. And I guess I'd heard it. Phrase "I am woman" somewhere, as everyone does at some point. I never connected the two, so I've just been schooled a lot by watching the new biopic called "I Am Woman," based on the life of Australian singer songwriter Helen Reddy. Please tell me you guys were more well versed than me.
I knew only the song, and that's about it. Because of some VH1 retrospective.
I'm an even trashier human. I had only heard the song in the second Sex and the City movie. So I'm the worst trash human of us.
I knew.
I'll see myself
that,
out.
You know, I am a woman. Like, I knew of the song. I didn't know it all the way through. And then I knew that on Family Guy, there, when they were doing the Star Wars parodies, they were doing like the Red Squadron jokes, and Helen Reddy was one of them. Like that's as far as I knew. Like we're all crap people.
By the way, given the Sex and the City 2 movie to have that scene in it where that's the karaoke song, like this is hilarious in every single wrong way.
But it is kind of like a screw you to that song and to Helen Reddy, which now is kind of like makes me feel kind of bad for her.
That movie is a fuck you to humanity.
It is. That movie is a hot mess, and may there never be another one. But it is about the life of singer-songwriter Helen Reddy, who apparently she, Eunju Moon, you know, spent a good number of years just basically trailing Helen Reddy and, you know, saying how much that she loved her, how much she loved her life story, and she needed to make a movie about her. And she did. And this is basically, you know, your standard biopic. Tilda Cobham Hervey stars as Helen Reddy and doing a really, really great job, especially vocally. Evan Peters from American Horror Story and X-Men fame plays Jeff Wald, her very, very complicated-esque husband manager. And Danielle McDonald, the amazing Danielle McDonald, plays Lillian Roxon, who was a pioneer, really, in terms of music journalist. Yeah, she really deserves her own movie, to be honest with you. I think, anyways. But yeah, this is one of those kind of like standard biopics. You know, we see the aspiring artists, the hardships along the way trying to make it, the pitfalls of fame, the trying to the balance of, you know, trying to balance everything, having it all, which of course is impossible. and where she ends up in the end. What do you guys think of this?
I will first say, I will no longer have the oppression of men hold me down. Okay, that was a stunt bra. I'm still wearing one. Honestly, this movie was just fine. I mean, I'd only really known of her and the song from, like I said, one of those many VH1 retrospectives. I honestly forget which one. They sort of start to blend together.
They blend again.
But,
yeah.
So pretty much I was going into this movie completely blind. I mean, I knew of Lillian because she is already, as you said, she's already a fascinating person in her own right. And yeah, I would like a movie of her own, like a biopic of her own. And maybe starring Danielle McDonald again, because she's my favorite thing in this movie.
She's got her own specific energy. Whenever she comes onto a scene, it's just like, did you guys see her in Dumplin'? Wasn't she just, she's just so darling
that
in
movie
that.
Was amazing because of her. I loved it.
Yes. I'm like, oh, there's Jennifer Aniston. Okay, I guess we'll listen to you. All right, back to Dumplin'. Yeah. Yeah, no, I know what you mean, Jordan. This was sort of like, it was very by the numbers. In a sense, I think, and I was, you know, captivated, I was enthralled. I think I even teared up a couple of times. I can't remember which points I did, but I really wish they would have done feminist themes more than they did. I feel like it was, even though they talked about it enough, they didn't interact with it, I feel, on a storytelling level.
Yes. That's my biggest note. That was my biggest thing I wanted to happen more in this film that didn't. They from the beginning, like, point you in the direction of this thing that's happening, but she never interacts with it or does anything or really makes any definitive statements about it other than, you know, 3/4 of the way through the movie, there's an interview where she gets asked a question and that she answers, but that's really it.
Yeah.
Like, the whole film, I'm just waiting for this very strong feminist story to be driven forward by her involvement in the movement, and it didn't.
Yeah, and to think with such tumultuous time as the 1970s were for the feminist movement with the Equal Rights Amendment and such. And yeah, that's in the movie, but it's so brief.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like having, you know, salad dressing on the side. Like, it's just, it's there, you know? It's just, yeah. It's just, yeah.
This thing is also happening. It's not really our story, but it's here. It happened at the same time. So we're going to mention it.
Like, the most main feminine, like, gay girl power movement is, I don't know, where she just tells everyone that boardroom at the where they're actually playing I Am One is like, it sounds too mean. And I'm just like,
it's man hating. Do you hate man?
And because it's Chris Parnell, I also thought, God damn it, Cyril. See this?
I know, Cyril.
I know, right? Like, why? It's like, what? You don't put Chris Parnell. You don't put Chris Parnell in this kind of scene.
Oh, and also that arcade kid from Stranger Things, who every time I see him, I'm just like,
oh, yeah.
what the hell hit your face?
But that's something of an interesting scene, though. One of the main gripes I have about this is actually, I think they're very respectful to her, for the most part. I really just don't like what they did with Jeff. I think that they had an interesting opportunity to show somebody, and I'm sure maybe they thought they were, to show a man who was a product of his time and sort of ahead of his time, in terms of, you know, pushing I Am Woman as a potential single, or, you know, even stealthily, like, sending her into clubs to play it and knowing that it would be or believing it would be a big hit. But they throw him back at the same time as well. So they had an interesting opportunity to show both sides of the coin about what the kind of guy he was, but they didn't. They just gave him a coke habit.
Evan Peters, like, he plays just kind of like generally one type of person, you know, like, he plays Evan Peters, right? Like, he's really great in American Horror Story. But anytime you take him out of that, it's like he's, you know, I think in, like, Pose, it's almost like the same type of person. It's, you know, it's just...
The thing that I noticed at the end of the film, looking back at the way the story was told throughout it, it's a series of moments that happen that would be a great opportunity for the main female character of the film to really have agency and take control over the things that are happening. And one by one, all of those moments are kind of the moment happens and you wait for her to take the initiative and she doesn't. There's only one moment in the whole film where she actually takes the moment by the balls and says, you're going to do this. And that's when she addresses him and says, look, I'm sitting in your house frowning it and I'm not happy with that. And you're going to do something about it. And she sits in the office and she looks him in the eye until he does something.
The story happened to her instead of her like moving the story along. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Every other scene. So the scene with I Am Woman in the boardroom. She says, this is what I believe in and I want this to happen. And he says, no, let's do it this way. And they say, no, we don't want this. And then he just says, shh, under the table's it. And then they move on. Like, she doesn't take command of the situation. It just happens to her. All the club scenes, it happens to her. Like, nothing, she doesn't make anything happen. It just happens to her. And she kind of halfway responds and then just fizzles out. Even the scene with the coke on the carpet, like, that scene just kind of ends. There's no resolution. She just leaves the room.
That's such a badly, like, written scene, I felt, anyways. Like, I didn't really, you know, I mean, it feels like we need to have this kind of a scene at this point in the film right now. So let's just come up with something. But I really do like the scene with the two of them in the office. I felt that was really... it was such a great, in terms of just the push and pull, the dynamics and their, you know, their relationship and where it was going. And I thought it was very exciting, very electric in a lot of ways. And yeah.
Yeah. And I got to agree with Jennifer on a lot of things because Helen Reddy was a big feminist icon, but this movie barely treats her as such. That office scene is really the one scene I can honestly recall where it's like, okay, she's taking charge. I am the captain now. And there's nothing else. I mean, there is some good stuff. I think Tilda did a really good job. It's a solid performance. It really is.
She's a beautiful actor. Just gorgeous. She has presence and charisma on the screen.
Almost uncanny in terms of just like it's Helen Reddy.
And I will say, I like the early scenes where she and Jeff start dating. I thought she and Evan Peters had enough chemistry, and I actually liked seeing that relationship build, especially around the games of chess,
yeah,
and such. But it's like, yeah, as soon as they get married, and like that scene at the dinner table at breakfast happens, it's just like, okay, I feel like I've just stepped into a completely different movie. What?
Agreed. That was very jarring.
When they go to L.A., it becomes a different movie when they go to L.A. And
yeah, we went from, oh, hey, this is a pretty sweet, nicely done romantic comedy to, hey, hey, welcome to Revolution Road 2, starring these guys.
They don't do anything inventive with this character, or even... really in any aspect of this film. I mean, you hear someone cough, you think, okay, well, they're going to be gone in a few scenes. And so, you know.
Yeah. As said, I just thought Danielle McDonald was the honest star of this thing, is Lillian Roxon.
Yeah.
Again, her like impact on music journalism with the Rock and Roll Encyclopedia. Like, I was honestly far more interested in that. And I would like a Lillian Roxon movie if they could get Danielle McDonald back to play her, because she was a great force of energy. She livened up every scene.
She's playing,
yeah, and even in the downer parts, like the last conversation.
She's got that air about her. Actually, she's actually going to be she's got a movie coming out. It's a supporting role with. It's called French Exit. She's playing a psychic on a cruise ship. And and it's a really fun. Her character can tell when someone's going to die because they come to her with a green glow. And it's a comedy, actually. So, anyways, but Jordan, do you want to go into your final thoughts?
Yeah, sure. I Am Woman, pretty by the numbers. I think if you've seen any number of biopics, you kind of know what you're getting. I mean, very rarely are you going to get something that's like really outstanding. Walk the Line, this just isn't, or even Ray, you know, and such. But good performances, some solid acting. Like I said, Danielle McDonald as Lillian Roxon, worth the price alone. And honestly, this movie downplays what a big feminist icon Helen Reddy really was. They just did really just kind of did her a disservice. And this is supposed to be a movie like all about championing her, and I felt like they kind of dropped the ball. I'm gonna say maybe 4 out of 10 cereal bowls with orange juice instead of milk.
So disgusting. Harmony?
Yeah, for me, it was very monotone for a musical biopic. You know what I mean? It was not... Don't do that, Jordan. freeze frame. I would have loved some more beats to it. I know. Harmony, I'm going to do all musical.
You're just doing this on purpose now, Harmony.
I'm not. I'm honestly... You know, so, but I wanted something more, and was I let down? Not necessarily, because I didn't know a whole lot about Helen Reddy going into it. So I don't know. I'm gonna give this probably a 5 out of 10 Coke lines. I couldn't think of a musical thing.
Oh, now you can't think of a musical.
5 out of 10 Grammys. There we go.
You ran out. Jen?
So, the things we have not yet addressed that I did enjoy, it's a beautiful film. The cinematography is gorgeous. The colors are very indicative of the 1960s and then into the 70s. The costumes give me flashbacks. The acting that they were given was great. They did a great job with what they were given. The thing that is lacking in this instance for me is very much the story. The writing, I just feel... missed the beat. It was off the mark for me. It could have been, like, I feel, I can't say definitively because I'm not familiar with her story personally, but I feel like if you're going to make the point that this is a feminist film, it needs to have strong characters that stand up for themselves and fight for new ground and are earth-shattering or ground-changing. This was not that film. It really, really wasn't, and that let me down. I went into it, I signed on for this one having watched the trailer and expected it to just be full of impact, and it did not deliver that to me. So I am very sad about that, but it was gorgeous, the music was great, the performance is there, on point. I am going to say, because it did not deliver those high notes of story for me, I'm just going to give it a 5 out of 10... ambiguous fade outs on a main character who disappears into the ether and never is seen or heard from again. It is a thing that happened.
I think we all wanted to like this more than we did, and it's a shame. I think it didn't hit me at first the flaws with this film, the flaws that this film had, because every time they do that thing, every time a film tries to cover up a shortcomings, they throw in a song to distract you, and great songs. I mean, you go over her catalog and you're just like, ah, that song. I like Delta Dawn. Oh man. And You and Me Against the World. It's great. But it's not making the commentary, the reflective commentary, that a historical commentary rather, that it thinks it is. It's shortchanging a lot of characters. Most of all, its central heroine. It doesn't take advantage of the sort of like playground it has to play in, and that's a shame. But I think with biopics, nowadays they're going one of two ways. They're either trying to spotlight everything from cradle to grave, or they're focusing on a specific moment in a person's life that was very sort of emblematic of the persona they became known for, the figure they became identified as. And I think maybe had they tried to do like a film about the making of her first album, you know, going through including I Am Woman and, leading up to I Am Woman and, the creation behind each song, maybe, I don't know, instead of trying to shine a spotlight everywhere, which is what ends up happening here, they might have had a better film, because you've got a trio of actors who are all clearly interested and they're all doing their best, especially Danielle McDonald, My God, what a breath of fresh air that woman is. Every time she just goes in, yeah, every time she just goes into a scene, she's got such bravado, and you know, it's pretty awesome. But you know, this isn't her movie, and it's a Helen Reddy movie. And even though Helen Reddy's seen it and given her blessing, her approval of it, I don't think it's worthy of her. And I'm sorry to say that, but you got to give props for at least trying. So, which is what I'm going to do. So I got to give this 6.5 out of 10. You know, screw it, Pete's Dragons, because that's how I first found out about Helen Reddy. And and I will be listening to the soundtrack tomorrow while I go for my jog. So yeah, along with some other.
Dang it! Why would you do that to me, Frank?
I don't have the only copy.
I can imagine y'all connected through the headphones, just jogging.
Yeah, exactly.